Welcome back to another episode of Mavericks and Misfits. Today, Jeff Lyle will take us into a time of us looking into our own hearts to see just how real our faith presently is. With everything happening in the world right now, Christians cannot afford to cross their fingers and wish really hard that they are okay. Now is the time for us to double down to audit our own hearts to ensure that we are ready to endure until the end. Jeff is going to help us today to think through what this looks like. Let's go there now with a full honesty and willingness to change.
I want to welcome you back to Mavericks and Misfits. My name is Jeff, and I'm glad that you've tuned in. Some of you, probably most of you, most of you are return listeners to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. And so appreciate the fact that you let me speak into your life, your walk with the Lord, all that's going on in the world today. Giving me a chance just to help you frame it up a little bit for you to consider what I have to say. And as always, I love to leave you with that God-given privilege to listen and say yes, no, or let me tweak that a little bit, Jeff, before I apply it to my life. However you're listening, I'm just grateful. Consider an honor all the time just to be able to speak into people's lives in the kingdom. It's pretty much all I do. I don't have 25 spiritual gifts, but there are many ways by which God allows me to just have a little bit of voice into what's going on in the kingdom and the tiny little corner of the kingdom that he's entrusted to me to. I'm very grateful for it. I count you among those people. So much has been going on. So much has been going on, but it just seems to be exponentially growing in intensity. Every time we record a podcast, I'm afraid that by the time it airs, and we're usually a week or so ahead of where the podcast actually is released. Very rarely do I do them on the exact same week that they're released, because we put them out on Tuesdays. But I have this dread sometimes that I'm going to release a podcast, and between the time it's recorded and the time it's released, the world dramatically shifts, and then that next podcast doesn't mention anything about it. But that's just the way it works in the recording podcast world. And so, every time I'm speaking, I'm thinking to myself, all right, Lord, let this be applicable. Let it make sense. I pray that everybody that is part of the listening audience is engaged in what's going on in the world. And when I say engaged, I mean that you're looking at what's happening in the world in which you live. Many of you married, raising families, some of you single parents, some of you not yet having blended your lives with a mate, but seeking after the Lord with all of your heart. And I just hope we're doing it with our eyes open, guys. Things are happening. When I read the Bible, and I've been reading the Bible as a Christian for over 30 years, and when I read the scriptures, I'm constantly pulled between what's called the historicity. That's the historical, when it was written, what was it speaking to, what was going on. I'm always kind of stretched between the history and the destiny, because so much of Scripture, especially New Testament, really all of it in the Old Testament, there's so much that points towards the time in which we are living and what's coming next. And I hope that as you are reading the Bible, it's not so much listening to sermons and podcasts and reading books and reading the Bible in order to have a great life right now. I mean, I want a great life right now, but I want to be living out my great life, whatever that means, with an awareness that we're all moving towards a cosmic climax of prophetic events that must come to pass. And so the world in which I'm living, there's a certain element for the biblically informed Christian where we're living in a non-reality reality, meaning the reality that is today, everything going on in your life today, everything going on in the world today, it's reality. It's not like it's not happening, but it's not the ultimate reality. It's not the final reality. It is a chapter in a story that is coming to a gloriously cataclysmic conclusion on planet Earth. I want to read just one verse today from Mark chapter number 8 and verse 18. it's a question from Jesus Christ, and he's talking to those who were beginning to follow him. And he's speaking to them about their need to grow in this area of prophetic discernment. And don't be scared by the word prophetic. Some of you don't come from a church culture that talks much about the prophetic. But in this context, he's talking about biblical prophecy. And he's talking about the need for his people to live with an acute discernment of what's going on around them. Because in order to live properly in the present moment, you have to be able to discern biblically, spiritually, accurately, what is happening around me? Where is it pointing? And then ultimately, how am I supposed to respond and adjust and proactively live? I'm about to take a sip of a delicious smoothie. I'm recording at home today, and Amy made this really, really good smoothie. So give me a second here. Man, that's good stuff. She's smart because she doesn't tell me what's in it. I have a natural aversion to things where I know it's healthy. Somebody hands me something and says, man, this is healthy. I will automatically think it tastes worse than it actually does. So she doesn't tell me what all she puts in here, but whatever it is, it's really good and very purpley. And I know it's got vegetables in it that she does not want to mention, but I'm drinking it. So thank you for giving me a moment. Now, back to what we were talking about. What was the question that Jesus asked his disciples? And what is the likelihood that you'll receive this as him asking you and me this question right here today? Because I don't see this as trapped in my Bible. I see this as the voice of Jesus Christ to me today as one of his followers. And he's asking me what he asked in Mark 8:18. He's asking you what he asked in Mark 8:18. And here it is. He says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? All right, for emphasis sake, I'll say it again. Jesus Christ once asked, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? So being a disciple of Jesus means being a student of Jesus. You're a pupil, lifelong. You never graduate. You progress, but you never fully graduate. You're always to be learning. And what you find out along the way is the learning in the kingdom is both cognitive, natural, physical, mental, but primarily it's spiritual, because it's a different kind of learning. It's a different kind of seeing. It's a different kind of hearing. I read the Bible for years and years long before I was converted, and I had a lot of good Bible data inside of me. God used that ultimately when I came to Christ, but I didn't have revelation. I didn't have discernment. I didn't have understanding. I had words. I had biblical facts. I had some knowledge. But then when I was born again and Holy Spirit became my internal teacher, he brought with him the gift of wisdom and revelation, which Paul prayed that the Ephesians would have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, which we should always pray for ourselves. We need wisdom and revelation, not just knowledge. Knowledge alone will make you proud. Knowledge alone will cause you to interact with God based on more of a bookish approach, a very proper yet distant relationship with God. And what you need is you need the revelation and the wisdom that goes along with the knowledge. And that's what breeds the passion and the affection and the depth of our relationship with the Lord. And so Jesus was confronting his disciples. And I think that this question that he asked, it was really three questions. Do you not see? Do you not hear? Do you not remember? Do you not see? Do you not hear? Do you not remember? He's like, you've got physical eyes, but do you not see? You've got physical ears. You're not physically deaf. Do you not hear? And then he says, you've got a mind, but do you not remember? Do you not see? Do you not hear? Do you not remember? And I think that's an important set of questions for the modern Christian, especially in America, and for all of us that are listening, engaging today to this podcast. Do you see? Do you hear? Do you remember? And so I think that the best way to approach this is, I think Jesus is instructing and asking about the future, about the present, and about the past. I think all of these three questions apply the future, the present, and the past. So let's talk about from the future tense. Jesus says, do you not see? Having eyes, do you not see? So let's unpack that. He's asking, are you observing what is happening all around you? Are you aware of where this is pointing, what's happening all around you, the convergence of things that are happening? Do you see as you need to see? Well, friends, right now, this convergence of things that are happening in both the spiritual realm and the natural realm are at an accelerated rate. They're aligning with biblical prophecy. The Bible is coming alive right before our eyes. And, you know, we can't go backwards. Nobody can pinpoint the exact moment, but somewhere, some time ago, we stepped into a season that is never going to return to what was previously normal to us. Some people would say it was around COVID, maybe a little bit before then, maybe a little bit after. But I think anybody that's waiting on the, you know, the sudden shift back to the normal life pre-2020 is you just hanging on to a splintering thread here. Because everything that is occurring right now is making it plain for those who have eyes to see that the stage is being set for the final, I'll call it a showdown. This final showdown between good and evil that the Bible says will precede the second coming of Christ. And it is happening at an undeniable, visible, and accelerated rate. What am I talking about? You've got these global alliances that are forming. You've got military conflicts that are escalating. What's going on in Israel, against Israel, around Israel, and by the government and military of Israel right now. You've got all of this happening, and Israel is the focal point, the geopolitical focal point of biblical prophecy. And so you've got all of that that is happening with people attacking, and they're making alliances. In the end of the age, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, everyone in the world will turn against Israel. And we're seeing that happen now with this massive rise of anti-Semitism, unapologetic anti-Semitism. And by the way, you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Jew. Listen, they view us in similar ways, especially Islam, views us as one. And so when it comes against the humanistic culture, the religion of Islam, and economic, geopolitical, these global industry titans that are working together with global governments seeking to take control of the human population. It's all out there. This is not conspiracy theory. This is just what's happening. And all of this is happening right before our very eyes, and people are sitting there thinking, yeah, it's a blip on the radar. It's always been like this. It hasn't always been like this. There's been elements of this for decades and decades, but the accelerated intensity of what's happening right now, it's coming to these blasting points of convergence, explosive stuff that's happening. Having eyes, do you not see these things? I mean, they're trying to take control of the human population, trying to reduce population, trying to control human population. It's just setting the stage for the regime of the Antichrist and ultimately the second coming of Jesus. Now, before you get all scared and freaked out and all of that stuff, additionally, there's all these great moves of the Holy Spirit that are happening. Part of which is God exposing corruption in the church. I mean, he's just not playing around anymore. Not that he was playing around before, but he is not allowing the measure of grace and mercy to take place that he has in the past. And so we're seeing all this exposure that's taking place. And the question is, having eyes, are you seeing that that's actually judgment beginning first at the house of God? That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants to say, Holy Spirit's moving because we saw miracles and healings and signs and wonders. Well, amen, we are seeing that. Thank God for that. But do you not recognize that the purging and purifying of the church, starting with the leadership all the way down, is also a work of the Holy Spirit? I mean, this is a process that will ultimately find its climax in the separation of the wheat and the tares in the very end of the age. But what facilitates that is already in motion. There's a separation occurring. Do you not see it? Having eyes, do you not see it? It's this holy and necessary division between light and darkness. That is happening in the spirit. So my question is, are you looking at the horizon right now? Are you observing that we are moving rapidly towards a conclusion, a climactic conclusion to this long chapter in the history of humanity? Can you have eyes to see? Or is it just business as usual to you? Is it, hey man, I don't got time for all that stuff. You're just a radical kind of prophetic kind of kook. Okay. You can dismiss it. I will. You're not asking for permission, but I'll give you permission to dismiss it after you've put the work in, after you've studied your Bible about the end of the age, after you've read the relevant passages, both Old and New Testament, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, obviously the book of Revelation, Paul's letters in the New Testament that tell you what it's going to look like at the end of the age, the teachings of Jesus, Matthew 24, and so on. Guys, you've got to put in the work. And if you haven't put in the work and you're just kind of shrugging this off, you're in trouble. Don't mind telling you, you're in trouble, because you're going to get sucked into the deception that comes at the end of the age because you're not prepared. You're not biblically grounded. You're not ready ahead of time. So that's the future aspect. Jesus says, do you not see what's coming? What about the present? Well, we've kind of already touched on it, because the present exhortation I'm giving is towards the future. But Jesus says, having ears, do you not hear? That speaks to me of this present prophetic application. I think probably the most important question that we need to be able to answer right now is, what is God saying to his people? I mean, God is speaking. I know he speaks through his word. Thank you, Lord. We have the word. What is written is written. But he's also leading us. He's also shepherding us. He's directing us. He's sharpening us. He's warning us. The Holy Spirit has a voice, and the Holy Spirit is not obligated to only repeat the things that have been inscripturated, have been written in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, you know where it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? That's not actually referring to the written word of God. The Greek word is rhema. It is the spoken word from the Lord. And so have you considered that the tactic of the devil, the enemy, it presently, his tactics are prioritizing bombarding you with ceaseless noise and unending, just long myriads, great massive groups of voices trying to keep you from hearing the voice of the Lord. In the present moment, you must be hearing the voice of the Lord. Church leaders must be hearing the voice of the Lord. We need the prophetic voice on our platforms, in our pulpits, on our podcast, on our broadcast. We need them in our blogs. We need them in our books. We need the prophetic voice of the Lord. People that have the anointing of the sons of Issachar, which I talk about all the time, who discern the times and knew what Israel ought to do. Well, we need that same anointing to come now. Why? Because the end times dragon knows that the dove is speaking. And because of that, Satan can't bear the thought of you locking in on what's being communicated from heaven's throne. So the dragon is breathing out fiery words at an incessant rate because the dove is also speaking. So you got in the culture, you got the roar of wickedness, you got all the hostility going on, tons of fear and offense. And it's deafening people to the voice of God. God is releasing instructions, guys, to all of us. Well, I say all of us, to those that are consecrating ourselves, to those of us that are praying with fasting, to those of us who have chosen to disengage, like from all the unprofitable, worthless online chatter. We're silencing those voices, and we're prioritizing the voice of the dove, the voice of Holy Spirit. We want him to be speaking instead of all of the stuff on social media informing our spirit. Jesus said, "Do you got ears, but are you hearing? Are you listening with your spirit? Because, friend, I want to tell you, if you're saved, you've got the capacity to hear what God's speaking. And I'm just going to submit that this is not a luxury that you can afford to miss right now. You've got to hear the Lord. He's speaking to his church about what's coming. He's speaking about how to prepare. He's speaking clearly and pointedly about sin and righteousness and judgment to come. I believe the Lord is speaking strategies to church leaders and prophetic details to those who are positioned to receive that prophetic instruction. Like, the Lord is offering us wisdom right here, right now, in the present moment, telling us how to prepare, how to protect our loved ones, how to endure the circumstantial shaking that is going to be hitting us hard on planet Earth. And I'm telling you, I've been telling you this for years, by the way, pretty much the whole time on this podcast, and even going back before the podcast on messages at, you know, what was then the church I shepherded, New Bridge Church, even Meadow Baptist Church, now at Antioch Outpost, in my Kineo classrooms. Like, this is not new, but we're getting very close to all of the end time events and then the second coming of Christ. And he's warning many people about the low level of oil that they're carrying in their unexamined lamps. You don't have oil. So Jesus is speaking in the present, but so many other noises and other voices are being prioritized by Christians every day. And instead of listening to the Lord, they're coming into agreement with all these demonic distractions that are being hand-delivered by the devil to keep you from hearing God. Some of you just need to quit reading incessantly, scrolling on X, Twitter, scrolling on Facebook. You just got to turn it off and fast and pray and get in the Word of God. Yep, it takes diligence, it takes maturity, it takes discipline. But the fluff that is feeding, it's toxic to the soul of the American Christian, and people are just ingesting it day after day, and they're not in the present using the spiritual ears that the Lord has given them. So for those of you that are, keep going after it. Keep feeding your spirit with truth. Keep listening to the voice of the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Stay connected to a body of believers where the leaders are preaching the truth, prioritizing prayer, walking in holiness. They're not building an empire on earth. They're building the kingdom of God. You've got to stay engaged. So that's the future and that's the present. But Jesus asked a question of his disciples in that same Mark 8:18 verse. He says, "Do you not remember?" So this one of the three questions, do you not see, do you not hear, do you not remember? This one's probably the most piercing of the three. Do you not remember your covenant with him? Do you not remember what it cost to bring you into that covenant? Do you not remember, have you forgotten in any ways the terms of his lordship? And that, here we go, you are not your own. Do you not remember that you've been bought with a price? Do you not remember his promises to you? Do you not remember his warnings about not falling in love with this world and this present life? He actually told you to lay your life down and to pick up a cross, and that you gain the world, you'll lose your soul. Do you not remember? Christians are getting amnesia. We remember the words, but we don't address and prioritize the meaning of those words in this generation. Guys, do you not remember the mandate to deny yourself? That's a mandate. You deny you. You pick up your cross. You follow him daily on that pathway of sacrifice and self-denial. Like, that's not for the super Christian. That's for every Christian. So I'm asking you, like, Jesus wants to know, hey, have you forgotten some things? Like, these are his words. I'm unpacking it, but I'm applying it. That's what I'm doing here. And these are things that I just see Christians forgetting all the time. I'm prone to forget them. If I don't exhort myself, one of the benefits, by the way, of doing a podcast and preaching and teaching is it keeps these truths in front of me and moving inside of me at all times. I thank God that he called me to preach and teach, because the very nature of my calling requires me to stay fresh. It requires me to keep these things awake and alive in me so that I don't forget. So what have you forgotten? Hey, listen, do you not remember the things from which he called you out? Like, why would you go back to dabbling in darkness and meddling in the mixture of this world? Have you forgotten he pulled you out of that stuff? Why are you flirting with a master that used to beat you and bind you and blind you? Why are you, have you not forgotten that he died to deliver you from things that now many Christians are calling entertainment? So if we forget these things, and I'm just giving you some of them, but there's a lot of things just like them. If we forget, we're living in extremely hazardous deception. Like, my Bible is filled with warnings about the dangers of forgetting and the illusion that many people who are professing Jesus as Savior, they're living under a delusion that is wholly incompatible with true biblical salvation. So they've either never understood, or maybe they understood, but they just forgot that when Jesus delivers you into the kingdom, he delivers you out of the world. And people that think they're in the kingdom but keep running and spend the majority of their conscious life in the world according to world's priorities, according to the world's pleasures, according to the world's prescriptions of entitlement that you deserve this, this, and this. And you've forgotten, actually, what I deserved was eternity separated from God in a place of torment because that's what I earned by my sin. But Jesus in his love and mercy and his grace through his blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection brought me out of what I deserved and placed me into the kingdom. And now my whole life is about this kingdom, the kingdom of God. I think sometimes I just want to spend like 3 months preaching in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Remember those verses? That to me, they're the most alarming verses in all of the Gospels. It is when at the end of the age, there's a ton of people that are standing before Jesus who are shocked that they didn't make it into the kingdom. They're standing before the Lord and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean we're not getting in? I prophesied for you. I cast out demons in your name. I did a ton of wonderful works in your name. So in other words, they were very busy on some level in kind of Christianized activity, even having some gifts of some sort. And then Jesus says, yeah, I'm sorry. We've never actually known each other. Jesus said to the Father in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Salvation, according to Jesus, is knowing God through Jesus. It is epignosis, the Greek word. It is a deep, intimate knowledge of the Lord. And so activity does not necessarily authenticate salvation. And I think many people are living as if they no longer remember the promises over them and the power within them. They no longer remember the flame of the Holy Spirit and the rock of Christ. So many Christians, entire denominations, are embarrassed of the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Just like Israel wanted to have nothing to do with God the Father in the Old Testament, and they rejected God the Father and chased the gods of the cultures around them. They dabbled in God on the in the Sabbath and some of the ritualistic stuff, but they really loved bowing down to Baal and Molech and Chemosh and these other gods. And they rejected the Father. And then in the New Testament and the Gospels, the people rejected the Son, crucified him. And now I see people today rejecting the Spirit, rejecting everything that the Bible says he is and all that the Bible says he does, and saying he doesn't do that anymore. So the Holy Spirit has been neutered by man's religion. And I don't mean that irreverently. I believe that that's exactly what the church has done. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit's around, but he has no power. He's not going to reproduce anything in us. And guys, I just want to say, do you not remember what the Word of God says? And so they've lost the flame of the Spirit. They no longer remember that he who cannot lie has declared that they in Christ are now new creations. Old things pass away, all things becoming new. People don't remember that. They're living as the old. They're living as the former. They're living in the before. And Jesus says, you're supposed to be living as an after. After you met me, things will be different. Nah, Lord, I said the prayer. I got baptized. I joined the church. I quit doing nine sins. I'm good. And the Lord says, I'm sorry. We've not met. So guys, this is hard stuff, but I'm just in a zone right now. If I can be completely open, I'm in a zone right now where I am so concerned about people who say they belong to Jesus and aren't even willing to investigate their own profession of faith. I think it was Peter that wrote, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. He was writing to people that had professed to be in the faith. And Peter said, you better check yourself. So friends, look backward and remember. Take a moment, look backward and remember. What commitment did you make to Jesus when you got saved? Or did somebody just lie to you and say, pray this prayer, receive all of the kingdom, live like you want, and you'll go to heaven when you die? It's a lie. It's a straight up religious deception, and it's a lie. Because salvation is a surrender. It's a submission. It is an exchange. You get off the throne and you welcome Christ to rule, because that's all he comes to do. Have you remembered that? And so let me just say this as I close. Having done this, are you aligned today? Are you willing to steadfastly walk out the life in Christ that you've received? I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care how many leaders are dropping like flies right now. I don't care how compromised your church is or how disappointed or what wounds you've got in the church. It's not that I don't care. I don't want to be super insensitive. But I'm just saying, I don't care enough about the things you and I have experienced that are negative from the church. None of those amount to a reasonable excuse for you not to live the way that Jesus has called and empowered you to live. Nobody's going to stand with you before Jesus. It's going to be you and him. And you're not going to be able to say, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this. I got hurt here. They ignored me here. Nobody validated me here. Jesus is going to be like, well, he's going to be, I died for you. I rose for you. I interceded for you. I put my spirit in you. I gave you the word of God. I promised to walk with you. I promised to lead you through the valleys. I promised to make you an overcomer. I promised, I promised, I promised, I promised. And Jesus then asked, do you not remember? So today, eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to remember. Lord Jesus, King of all kings, help us to embrace the urgency of this hour. Please help your people. Please help me. Please help the listener. Please help our churches. Please help leaders and churches. Help us embrace the urgency of this present hour. Help us, Jesus, to refresh our awareness that your offer still stands. Hallelujah. Like we can repent today. Hallelujah, Jesus, and begin to walk. I pray for my listeners right now that if any need to repent, help them to do it right now. Grant repentance so that they can wisely discern that the window of opportunity is closing for others soon. So we give you our hearts today fresh and anew. And thank you for questioning us, to loving us enough to say, having eyes do you not see, and ears do you not hear, and do you not remember? Today, Lord, we remember. Thanks for tuning in today. We will talk to you next week on Mavericks and Misfits.
We now have plenty to think about today. If you would like to provide feedback, ask questions, or make a suggestion for a topic Jeff might cover on an upcoming episode of Mavericks and Misfits, email us at jeff@maverickmisfit.com. Also, please rate and review the Mavericks and Misfits podcast with Jeff Lyle wherever you subscribe. For more resources, visit transformingtruth.org. Don't forget to get a copy of Jeff's book, Figuring It Out As I Go, on Amazon, or wherever you buy books. You can also hear Jeff narrate Figuring It Out As I Go on Audible.com. Tune back in next week for a new episode of Mavericks and Misfits.